Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Hey, y'all, and we are back. Now, many people struggle with the challenge of physical fitness. The most common obstacles are time, physical space, and initiative. They have busy schedules, family responsibilities, unsafe environments, and a general disinterest in strenuous activities has led to an increase in preventable illness. Today, our time is dedicated to identifying simple solutions to increase physical activity and discussing barriers to physical health specifically to communities of color. So, welcome back to Kicking It with Kidneys, a forum to discuss important topics for historically suppressed voices within communities of color. Our KIWK team is back in the house. We have BJ Simone, Maria Jimenez, and of course, Rita Williams. So BJ, what is the word on the street?
Well, I'm going to start off with a statement that Maria made in one of our episodes. The struggle is real. So today's topic, there's a lot of debate out there about, you know, how much exercise, if we should exercise, how much time, what's good, what's bad. So let's take a listen.
Exercise is one of the goals of Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative.
A youngster who develops diabetes in his teens may need a kidney transplant by the time he's 30.
Health experts recommend that children get an hour of active exercise daily, but that's difficult, with American kids spending 7.5 hours watching TV or playing with electronics.
So let's move. And I mean literally, let's move.
Being physically active, for one, it helps you with your confidence and your self-esteem. So establishing right away, maybe going on a walk, it's something that you can do with your friends, it's something that you can do with your family. It helps your whole entire social network be active as well. It gives you the opportunity to maybe even interact with people in a way that you haven't before.
We all know that exercise can tone our bodies and make them healthier, even more attractive. But did you know it can also improve your sex life?
I don't like to exercise, but what I've discovered when I exercise, I feel better.
Well, we, you know, when you're cultural-wise, on our end as Navajos, we were always told, you get up before the sun, you run before it comes up, you know. Every morning.
Sleep. Yes. I started practicing yoga when I was in my early 20s. It was a very alienating experience. Like, I was almost always the only fat person, frequently the only Black person. So I started posting my photos, and immediately the reaction that I got, it was mostly people being like, I didn't know fat people could do yoga. I have quite a lot of experience with the trolls. They're coming for me for every reason. They feel like I'm promoting obesity. A huge part of my acceptance is using the word fat and really owning it.
You need to promote health at any size.
Most jobs now sit in a cubicle. We don't get the physical activity we need into our jobs. So today, it is very important that we very proactively engineer physical activity back in, that we get patients to exercise, and doctors need to prescribe it to their patients.
Our guest today is Tony Jones. Tony is an entrepreneur and owner of Most City Health and Fitness Gym. He has dedicated most of his professional career mentoring and empowering people of color to make personalized lifestyle changes to meet their unique physical, emotional, and dietary requirements. He is a health activist and believes that one's first responsibility is for the need of one's own community because it can create the necessary conditions for people to take control over their own lives when others cannot or will not act on their behalf. Tony believes that most folk do not recognize the difference between physical versus emotional hunger, meaning that we don't live to eat, we eat to live. And he also says we place no value on the essential role of exercise. So we fall prey to generational propaganda that has resulted in unhealthy people that contributes to premature death within communities of color. Wow. Welcome to Kicking It with Kidneys. Tony Jones, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Tony Jones, as you stated. I've been into training my 24th year in training. And like you said, I've helped many throughout my career in the training aspect. And we do teach that importance of exercise. Now, one of the things I do want to correct that we heard from the expert, physical activity is not equivalent to exercise. It's just not. I know doctors say this. You can walk 30 minutes every day, and physiologically, there's going to be no change in your body. Most people, when they come to a gym or they want to take on a physical activity, they're doing it to change physically. Moving is not equivalent to exercise.
Well, what about those 30-minute walks that tell you if you walk 30 minutes a day, that it's going to create and, you know, help with cardiac problems and et cetera, et cetera. So I can't expect it if I'm walking 30 minutes a day that I'm going to have some body change.
There will not be body change, but there is some positive in the walking. But those are the things that we can see. Okay, hypothetically, if your blood pressure is 220 and you start working and you're eating right, your blood pressure could drop down to normal, but that's not something that we could see. So it's not motivating.
Okay.
What makes people continue is motivation. So there has to be something they're seeing or something they're hearing.
Okay. So, Maria, I believe that you know Tony personally. So what questions do you have for Tony today?
Unfortunately, I do. But he's good at what he does. That's why he's on today. So we're going to listen to that and hear everything he had to say. But welcome, Tony, to Kicking It With Kidneys. My first question for you today is, what are the benefits of being physically active and how does that help minority communities?
One of the greatest things that it does, it improves your overall health. Our health is the one thing that God gave us, and he only gave us one of those. And we should always take it personal and serious that we take care of the health. Some of the other things that it covered that we don't talk about, and the doctor did mention in that small clip, we need to start talking about mental health and depression and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. These are things that plagues a lot of people, especially people of color. Those are some of the necessities that we have to start covering because that's what hinders us. Depression, and now with this, all the social media, they're giving you this thing, okay, this is how you're supposed to look.
I'm glad you're throwing that in there. Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. What we shouldn't teach as health experts is to work out or exercise to look a certain way. Because if you take care of the inside of your body, the outside is going to change anyway.
Mm. That's true.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, you might think I'm a little off about this, but I was watching television the other day and it was a commercial and they had this real big, big, big woman on there. And she had on the latest fashion and she was, you know, walking tall and strong. And, you know, I think a lot of you African-American men believe that women, I heard the terminology, I think thick, y'all like thick women. Is that true, Tony?
I can't speak for all men, but I prefer you to be healthy because if we're going to be together for a long time or maybe for
wait a minute. So are you trying to say that if I'm thick, I'm not healthy, Tony?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm also saying just because you're thick, that doesn't mean you're unhealthy and it doesn't mean that you're healthy because the body, we can do assessments on body. So there are risk factors. So hypothetically, if you're 35% body fat, you're considered overweight. 40% you're considered morbidly obese. Those are high risk factors for cardiovascular diseases and diabetes, high blood pressure, which leads to all of that. So yeah, it's based on our recommendation that's set by these guidelines by our doctors anyway. Mm. Based all on right. assessment.
Uh-huh. All right, BJ.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you doing?
My question is, you heard the lady say on the clip, I hate exercise, you know, and I think that's something that a lot of people share. So how do you motivate people to be physically active when everything inside them says, I don't want to do this?
There are several things you could do, especially with a woman. So we do an assessment. Say you're 45 years old. Mm-hmm. We have these assessment tools that we use. And once we put you on it, it comes back. It'll tell us, hey, based on this recording, your body is acting as a 60-year-old woman. Once we show that woman that, I've never seen it not work where she doesn't, even if she doesn't like exercise. And then another thing we have to also do, and especially in our race, we have to stop thinking exercise is a punishment. And go back to something Ms. Barkley said earlier into the podcast was, if something is important to you, you'll make time for it. So there's no such thing as I don't have time. If you love yourself, you'll find time. If it's important, you'll find time.
Tony, what if you are a 60-year-old woman?
Hey, I mean, you guys say it all the time when it comes to that. Age is nothing but a number. I train women that's a lot older, and it doesn't stop them from getting the results that they desire.
Good to know.
Okay.
Well, welcome, Tony. Have you observed racial and cultural differences between groups in their attitudes and challenges towards physical fitness? And if so, what are the problems people of color experience making more often than other groups?
Some of the excuses that people of color uses, like Ms. Barker said, was, I don't have time. I work all day. I have to go home and take care of the kids. It's always an excuse. But there is a difference on how we look at things. For example, wealthy people look at exercise as a sign of wealth. Mm. People in the middle, I'm going to do it because I got to get ready for something. Poor people look at it as, or those who are in poverty, look as a sign of punishment. So depending on where you are economically is how you view exercises. So what we have to do as for my job is, no matter what your mentality is about it, I have to make you think as if you were wealthy, because it is a mental thing. It's not always a financial thing.
Okay, so I understand what you just said. But again, there's this propaganda. I believe that it's propaganda, that especially with African-Americans and Latinos. I noticed that most of the Latino, the young girls are really small. And after they have those babies, they kind of blow up. Okay.
Kinda.
Okay. but my thing about African-Americans, why is it that the analogy is out there, we got to have the big everything, the big bodies, the big butts, the this and that and other. When did that come along? You know, that's not our history. That's not what we came from. But yet I see the white women, they always in the gym. And, you know, I'm going to talk about them. They always in the gym. They don't gain 2 pounds. And, you know, and even if the men are looking elsewhere, when they go out to dinner, they take these nice little thin, slim things on their arm to go to wherever they're going to, whatever function. So what's up with that?
I mean, we could be here all day just talking about that one topic.
Okay, so tell me the differences, okay?
Well, one of the differences is if everybody, majority of you think, statistics says 6% of African-American women and men are overweight. So if you put 60% in a room, everybody's
the same. Wait a minute. Did you say 60?
60% are overweight. 33% are obese.
So with all our other disparities, now this obesity is a major contributing factor.
It's a major contributor. So when you put all of them together, there's no encouragement. There's no motivation to change. You know, when you go back 30 or 40 years ago, when we were in school, you could count the amount of people in the whole school that were overweight. You can't count them in a classroom now. Everything is so acceptable now. And those are called worldviews. Mm-hmm. So whenever the world said you could do this, that's what we follow. But it has to be people like ourselves bring awareness to it. But we have to make sure we put something in action to get it going, because that's not healthy. And that's why we see, even in your field, dialysis, more and more people in 2021 has dialysis than you combine a generation, a whole decade in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You take 1 year and one decade of the 80s, that's because we're not taking care of ourselves. So we eat on the go. We eat anything. We just don't take pride in what we put into our bodies. 80% of all diseases come from within the intestinal tract. So in order for it to get there, you had to open your mouth and put it there.
Well, I don't
know. He's speaking the truth.
I know he's speaking the truth, Rita, but I'm just wondering about why is it that these white women, now come on now, I know they got to be some poor white women too. Now I'm talking to you as a man. Now, do you like thick women, Tom?
No, I don't like, I do like them real curvy though. I like the curves.
Okay.
Now, I don't have a size or a weight, but I do personally, I like them curvy. I like them with big teeth because they look younger. I know a lot of people don't think like that, but you got to think here.
Uh-huh.
If that's big, that you look younger, it gives you a full jaw. Mm-hmm. Your jaws are closer together. It makes you look older.
Well, you talk like you're looking at horses and stuff and checking the teeth.
You almost got to be Mr. Ed with some curves. I want Mr. Edward Curry.
Okay. So back to these women that are not of color necessarily. Now, again, traditionally, Anglo-Saxon white women basically are thin. Okay. So even though they're pushing, I see in the media nowadays, every time I told you about that commercial I was watching where they have these big girls on there now. Mm-hmm. But we know that it's not healthy. Why are we falling into that propaganda and believe that if we stay unhealthy, that we're going to have longevity? Okay. What do we do about that?
Well, I'm going to address both questions. One, okay. The unhealthiness is a worldview. So anytime a worldview comes into play and the majority accepts it, we will accept it. The other part with the white women, it starts back with the family.
Oh, wait a minute. The white women ain't accepting it. They not getting fat.
I'm about to address that.
Okay. All right. I'm going
to
let you.
You go back to the white women. Uh-huh. You go back to the white families. You have to think. If you just survey your communities, you could walk through and you can see the whole white family walking together. When you go to a black community, they're not walking at all.
Well, they may be dogs.
But no, it's a learned behavior. And they carried over into their adulthood, where we, especially as a black male, we only participate in exercise when we're in sports. Once the sports is over with, then we just go to looking like crap. Mm. So it starts from an early childhood. This is how we're bringing up our children. Well, you know, we push them to exercise when they're in sports. But you think if they're not in sports, the only thing we tell them is get a good education. We don't tell them to get a good education and be healthy, especially when you're raising daughters now, because the type of men that they're going to attract or that they're going to be attracted to is going to require them to not to be at the bottom of the pole. So you have to be at the top, because if you want a top quality man, you're going to have to be the cream of the crop, because he's not picking from the middle and he's not picking from the bottom. So we just can't tell our black women just to do anything or love me for anything, because we're not built like that.
Well, that's true, because I don't particularly want to see all them abs and stuff from a man, so I know he doesn't want to see it from me. I mean, I understand that. So what you're saying is that culturally, let me get this right. You're saying culturally, white women are trained to stay healthy, maintain that body image, and we will accept anything? Is that what you're saying, that minorities or Latinos?
No,
I don't think that's what he said.
Okay,
but
what did he say?
Speaking for a Latino woman, I know that once we have our children, like you said, we let ourselves go. Not everybody lets themselves go. Mm-hmm. I mean, but we do, though, get involved in our children's lives, and they do overtake our lives. Or we let them take over our lives, and we don't. We don't have time to go to the gym or take a walk or, you know, whatever. And we do spend majority of our time taking care of our families. Mm-hmm. But like you said, this is what we have to do, is put back into ourselves and take control again, our physical health and our mental health and our general well-being.
But it's not like those minority women that are raising their children are just affecting themselves. They're affecting the children as well. Because you see the chunky mamas with the chunky daughters, the chunky sons, and it's like, wow. And you see how it is. But that is something that communities of color do need to work on. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Maria, what's your next question?
All right. Do you think that the images reflected in the media influence the way people see themselves? And how do you challenge obesity without being accused of body shaming?
See, because I think we're going to get a lot of flack from this show, because I'm pointing out things that are just obvious. Okay.
And that's
reality. I mean,
it is reality.
We have to get slapped in the face with reality to make the changes we have to make. I mean, it's not nice, but it's reality.
Yeah. A lot of the things. Okay. Let's deal with the body shaming. Majority of us. Well, we're speaking for the woman side first. From the teenagers, whether it's you're Latino or Black, most of these girls are on birth control. That contributes to weight gain. Our diets are poor. That contributes to weight gain. And then it's accepted because everybody looks like that. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have to address obesity, because we can show them that there is a health risk. We're not telling you that you have to be like this lady that we see on social media. And social media does play a big part. You shouldn't even get caught up to social media. They have so many filters. I could take anybody and make them look good, I can take them and make it look small. We have to educate them, especially our kids. They said the average kid is sitting on their phone 4 to 7 hours a day during the school day. Mm. That's poor parenting. Mm. If you have that much time for your kid to be on a phone, you need to take an hour of your time and y'all need to go exercise. It's just an excuse. And we do have to point it out and we have to talk about it. And if someone's upset with us about pointing it out because we want you to live a healthier life, I can live with that.
I agree.
Well, I think it's something that you said at the very beginning of the program, Tony. It's a mindset, you know, and we can't neglect that depending on where you are. And it's not all about economics in terms of your ability to be
right,
but in terms of your mindset. Yeah, I agree with you.
And this is, that's what it is. It's just all about renewing the mind, because if the mind tell you you can do it and you're going to do it, that's what you will do. But if you keep sending doubt to your head, you're going to always, okay, I'll wait. We have to stop the wait game.
Right. Well,
I have a question about some of the initiatives, too, because we started with Michelle Obama's initiative to move. Mm-hmm. And I know that COVID had some impact. But for those of us who are a little bit older, we grew up in a school system that required you to have much physical activity.
That's right. It was called PE, and we had to do it every day.
For an hour.
We had to run. I didn't necessarily like it then, but you had to do it. And I listen to kids today, and that's not a part of the curriculum. In fact, sometimes that's the first thing that gets cut out when there are budgetary issues.
Right now, they do have PE, but it's only for 1 year, and it's an elective. So they do have to do 1 year, but you don't get those other years. And PE cannot help you if you live a poor nutrition lifestyle outside of the schoolhouse. There's nothing PE could do for you. It actually hurts you when you get the moving and you're constantly putting all this into your body. Your body needs energy to move at a certain rate. You don't have the energy because the food that you put in, you can't use it for energy. That's why we have so many sick kids. Your body can only use food for energy if it's the food that your body requires for energy. Everything you put in your mouth can't be used for energy. If it's processed, you can't use for energy. If it's sugar, you can't use for energy. Anything that comes in a bag, you can't use for energy. And that covers a wide a range of things when you say process. Go ahead.
Tony, I mean, what if I am making $15 an hour? I got 4 kids. And I'm working all day long. And then when I come home, I have to make ends meet. I have to manage that limited budget. So I'm not necessarily buying the fresh, healthy foods. And I'm too damn tired to get out there and exercise with them. What are your recommendations for people like that? I want to get healthy, but I can't because, I mean, I have all these limitations and restrictions. I mean, my kids have got to come first. What do you say about that? I mean, I know they're learning bad behavior, but these are some of the challenges that one may face. So what do I do about that?
Let's take that same scenario.
Okay.
Single woman, $15 an hour, 4 kids.
Yeah.
The one thing she should be doing in order to save money is learn how to grocery shop. And she should cook in bulk. You got the brown rice, beans, and that stuff is healthy for you.
But what if the kids don't like the taste? I mean,
you got to go back to old school.
Who got choices?
Yes. When
you
keep still having choices.
You were given.
Exactly. And if you get hungry enough, you eat anything.
You'll eat whatever.
Exactly. Now, the problem is, as a parent, we give our kids too many choices. Then when they turn it down, we get upset. It's a learned behavior. And then the other thing to address with a woman in that position, she could take her 4 children with herself, take 1 hour at a time, and they could do a home workout together. And you're spending quality time together. That's bonding, you're exercising, and you're bonding. And now your kids are not distracted from the cell phones.
So you're saying that's a perfect way to kind of bring that family unit together.
It's easier for them to do. It would be easier for them to do that.
And we talked before about families cooking together, you know, fixing their meals together, like Tony said, in bulk and stuff. And that is getting the family back together and teaching them, hey, this is better than this, you know. So, yeah, I kind of like that idea about getting back to old family values about sitting down and eating dinner together, cooking dinner together and stuff like that.
And think about this. In America so far, the bigger the houses get, the less time we spend together because everybody goes to a different room. 40, 50 years ago, the houses were small. Everybody had, you had to watch one TV. You sat there with the family. So there was family time. We don't do that anymore.
Because we don't do that.
Look at your house. I don't even know where you at in your house when I come over there.
You know what, Tony? Don't be telling nobody to look at my house. I don't want nobody to know I know you. Anyway, like I was trying to say, Tony, I mean, you are just awful, but I did lose weight. I do feel good, and I do look good. Okay.
And you were, I think there's a man that will want you now.
Okay, you know what?
I got another question for you. Let me ask you another question.
Thank you. Okay.
So what are realistic goals that the average person should try to achieve when starting an exercise program?
Okay, the first thing you want to do, you want to start with small changes. Okay. If you're a soda drinker, you say, you know what? I'm not drinking three a day. I'm going to drink one today.
Okay. Realistic.
If you're eating potato chips, you know what? I'm not going to eat the potato chips this week.
Okay.
As you start practicing, you get better. It's easy to move away from that stuff. Now, the problem comes in when you try to quit cold turkey and you can't.
Yeah.
So now you feel like you're a failure. No, you got to take small steps. And if you keep practicing, eventually you're going to get to where you need to be, where you can eat healthy. And it's easy to say no on the holidays or during the week when you're at work. Because they promote unhealthy eating at work.
That's true. So no more M&Ms?
No more M&Ms.
Darn it.
Give it all the trick-or-treat candy.
I know. I did. I brought them here.
All right, DJ.
Okay. Well, Tony, you know, you're saying that, you know, people are watching television, but we do live in a technological age. So are there any apps or other resources that you would suggest to help the audience that's trying to get on the road to be more active?
Yeah, you have YouTube. If you go on YouTube, you can find a whole workout every day. The thing about YouTube and the workouts, it's not motivating. If you're not motivated. So I always tell people, hey, get with somebody that can get you kickstarted. Because if you won't get kickstarted, you're not going to do it. I don't care how many apps come up. You can go on YouTube all day and never run out of exercise.
Okay.
But if that was the case, everybody would be doing it. It just doesn't work.
So are you saying, like, I'm going to speak to my age group. For our seniors, we go to the senior centers where they have activity programs and maybe community centers for families or?
Well, you can go there. It just depends on what you're going for. If you're already in shape, that's fine. But if you're not and you're trying to make changes physically, those places are not going to cater to what you want.
Okay. Where do I go?
So you have to go somewhere. You have to do your research based on where you live. Mm-hmm. Now, who's good at what I want? And you can find out by calling, doing interviews, going in, asking questions, doing references or whatever it is that you have to do to find out what it is that you need.
Okay. Well, Tony, how will I know what I need? If I am a person who has done no exercise, I am starting from zero. I'm hearing this program and I'm listening to you and but I don't know what I want. Should I be trying to be fit? Should I be trying to, what am I supposed to know or want?
What I would do personally, I would start asking questions. Okay, what is it? Why are you here? You know why you're here. Once you tell me why you're here, I can address why you're here. For an example, if you say, I haven't worked out in 25 years, I have high blood pressure. I'm not overweight, but I have high blood pressure. I know exactly what to do. Immediately, I'm going to bring you in and say, look, we have to change your diet. I got to put you 3 to 4 days of cardio training. And then I'll send you back to the doctor and let him check you because I can't take you off the medication. But through exercise, I've never trained anyone who had high blood pressure and it didn't change based on diet and exercise.
What is the average cost to get someone to, like a professional trainer like yourself, what is the average cost to give, you know, for someone to give you that advice? How much is it going to cost someone like a senior citizen? I mean, can they include it in their budget for you to kind of give them some directive?
Well, most gyms, if you go in, they're kind of like comp you consultations to get you on the right path, but they won't go as far as you need them to go in terms of changing. But they can give you enough information And you got to think, when it comes to training, to be honest with you, it's just like everything else. A Ferrari is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't afford personal training. But the one thing everybody can do is exercise. Yeah. So there's still no excuse. So you have to find places that have really, really great classes that can help you get to where you want to go. Because everybody can't afford training. And training is not for everybody.
Cindy, getting back to that about insurance, you know, some of the insurances do give you a discount to go to the gym or something like that.
Okay.
So
okay.
You need to look with your insurance, you know, if you have Blue Cross Blue Shields, do they give me a discount? Is there a gym I can go to, a gym membership or something like that? But I just thought about that. So, Tony, for people like regular folks that can't afford a nice person like yourself, what can we do?
He's not nice. He's not nice, but go ahead.
Well, I just met him today. He seems
okay,
nice.
All right. Okay, all right.
He spoke okay. Nicely to me. I'm assuming he's nice. So what can I do to just get started? What if my budget can't afford anything like that? I mean, I can't even afford to go to the gym. So
now, there's no such thing as I can't afford a gym membership. That doesn't exist.
Is there a $10 gym membership somewhere?
Yeah, you have $10 membership all the way to $30, $40, $50, $100. Okay. So that doesn't exist in the real world.
Okay.
Because we know that when you spend money on junk food. Mm-hmm. You have to
Tony, have you been reading my diary?
Oh, I know not you, Rita. I know other people like you, but not you. So we have to learn to prioritize and redistribute where our money go. The second part to that is, you have to find a gym that offer classes that will get you to your goals without charging you anything additional.
Okay.
Because everybody can't afford a personal training, but exercising is for everybody. God designed the body. Yeah. God designed the body to move and do work. Not just move, because that's a word that we throw around all the time loosely. Mm-hmm. Oh, we just got to move. No. You got to move and you got to do work. The same thing you do with Adam.
I had the first part.
We're going to get the second part right
here. Great advice. Okay, so BJ, what are some of your final thoughts? And tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, my final thoughts became very clear. No excuses.
None.
Tony's preached. There are no excuses. As far as the show is concerned, we are so grateful for the people who have made comments, and we want you to continue to make those comments. We are going to respond to everyone. If you have questions, you know, we can funnel those questions to our guests that we've had, and I'm sure Tony will be able to give us information if people need information. We thank all of our viewers, and we especially thank you, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Rita.
Well, thank you, Tony, for enlightening us with all your knowledge and stuff. So my thing is that I wanted to say is those who do not find time to exercise will find time for the illness. And we talked about that before. So let's get to moving. And what was the second part, Tony? Just not moving.
Moving and work.
Thank you.
Maria, what do you have to say to Tony?
Tony, thank you. He does know what he's talking about. He is a really, really, really good trainer. You guys should check him out at Most City Fitness, especially if you have a deadline. He got me together for my wedding. He doesn't play any games, but it's all about eating right and doing the work and moving your body. So check him out. Check out the gym. I'll see you at 5, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, Tony, what are some of your final thoughts? But before you give me your final thought, I had a cousin one time and I had a girlfriend and she was kind of thick. She was a little on the thick side. And so I said, but she's cute. He says, she may be good to look at, but I'm going to have a hard time picking her up. Okay. So, ooh. I mean, you know, I understand. Okay. So one man's garbage is another man's treasure is what they say, but you have to think about your health. So
that's not true, Ms. Barkley. Look,
it's not. Okay.
One man's garbage is just another man's garbage.
Garbage is
garbage.
Okay. All right.
Because real woman is not going to let you treat her like garbage if she knows she's not garbage.
All right.
But my final thought is this. For women, the benefits for exercising the right way with your resistant training, your cardio, you're going to get tighter skin. People are spending billions of dollars on getting skin.
That's right.
The only thing that tightens your skin is resistant training, if you know it or not. Mm-hmm. It's good for the hair, skin, and the nails.
Okay.
And posture, and the physique, and imaging. For a man, the benefits are, I mean, you could be attractive, but let's talk from a sexual standpoint. The less body fat you have, you got to think of the, just an erection itself is nothing but a blood flow. So if you have clogged arteries and stuff, mm-hmm. the blood flow is not there. So the sex doesn't last long. So for a man, it's beneficial because you want him to drop his body fat as low as possible. So the farther the stomach sticks out, the shorter the time you guys gonna have, you know. So y'all might just have to turn on the Netflix to finish up.
We gotta have you back. We gotta
No, I'm not coming back. And if you do, it's gonna cost y'all a lot of money.
You gotta give back to the community.
We enjoyed you.
All right. So we're gonna end our show. Thank you so very much, Tony, for joining us on Kicking It with Kidneys today. And we look forward to our guests joining us next week on another episode of Kicking It with Kidneys.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week. The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.